All right, we'll do a verse I've been meditating on the past 2 weeks. Very, needless to say, very brilliant purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's chapter 4, text 10. Vitaraga bhayakroda manmaya mam upashritaha bahavo jnana tapasa puja madhava magata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. We'll read the purport bit by bit, because there's three elements, actually four elements in this verse I like to concentrate on. And we'll read the purport in relation to each part. First of all, we should know that Krishna is encouraging us with numbers. Sometimes we think that it would be so much easier to be Krishna conscious if everybody else was doing it, or if most people were doing it. Krishna says here, many, many persons have already done this. The fact is, the minority of souls are in the material world. So anyone in the material world is part of a minority group, an oppressed minority group, oppressed by the laws of nature. And as we discussed a few days ago, there's no way that you can talk about meaningful activity when you have no freedom. Your mind and body are oppressed by the modes of material nature. So, there's no question of any meaningful activity. You're just being forced at gunpoint by the laws of nature. Now, you chose to enter into that situation. But once you choose to enter into that situation, you're forced. You can only talk about meaningful activities when there's actually freedom. And there's no freedom in material existence. How many of you actually think you're free? The power of lust makes you think you're free. And you have so many options to choose for your body and mind, when actually you're completely shackled. Real freedom is in the spiritual world, and that's where the majority of spirit souls are. So we're in a minority group. If you're worried about numbers, the vast majority is on Krishna's side. So, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna. Many, many persons have already done this. They become purified. And what did they become free from? Vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. Attachment, fear, and anger. Now, whenever we're discussing these verses, this verse with people who are new to Krishna consciousness, we always ask them, well, you please describe what is attachment. You please describe what is fear. What is anger? And they start thinking, well, attachment means this. Attachment means that. Fear, anger. They come up with their own definitions. And then I read to them what Prabhupada says in the purport. His describing of attachment, fear, and anger, and the ramifications. And everyone is always astounded at the depth. So first, attachment. Srila Prabhupada is going to describe how material attachment leads to great difficulty in understanding spiritual subject matter. It's not that simply, oh, I'm attached to material things and that's just the way it is. No, the more we are attached to material things, the more it's impossible to understand spiritual truth. So much so that we think that Krishna is material. Because we're so absorbed in matter, we think that even Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are material. So let's hear what Srila Prabhupada has to say. As described above, it is very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. I met someone like that today at Food for Life. I was talking to quite a few nice persons, and I got up, and all of a sudden, this guy, this young, maybe in his mid-20s, person from Perth, he immediately, can I talk to you for a second? Oh, how nice, someone, So, immediately sat down, began to tell me how he had just come back from India, 3.5 years in India. Yeah. He was, ethnic Australian. 3.5 years at some Vedanta ashram near Pune, and how he had, he woke up every morning at 4, took rest at 9, and studying the Vedanta from morning to night in this ashram. So I said, oh, you spent so much time in this ashram studying Vedanta. So you must know Bhagavad Gita then. Oh yes, Bhagavad Gita. We know all about Bhagavad Gita. Oh, so I said, you must understand Krishna. Oh yes, Krishna. It's all the same, what you're doing, what we're doing. And I got a little suspicious whenever somebody says it. So I said, well, who do you understand Krishna to be? Oh, Krishna? Krishna's an historical person, he said. And beyond Krishna, there's the unmanifest. You can call it any name. Krishna, this, that, whatever. So, I said, well, what version of Bhagavad Gita did you study? So, he became quite astonished. You really take Bhagavad Gita directly? I said, of course. What have you been doing for 3.5 years? Don't you take Bhagavad Gita directly? But he said, but that's limiting. If you just take Krishna's words as they are in Bhagavad Gita, you're limiting. You have to interpret. You have to expand. He said, oh, you have that ability that you know better than Krishna, so you can come up with your own meaning? He said, well, how can you actually accept that Krishna, the Supreme Personality, that is the ultimate absolute truth? He said, don't you understand that whenever you say personality, that's a limitation? He said, no. Why is that so? He said, you are speculating. What do you mean I'm speculating? It's obvious. Personality, individuality means limit. He said, why? He told him, you're speaking in material terms. Krishna, his name, form, qualities, individuality, personality has nothing to do with matter. Therefore, there's no limitation. Oh, he was just like, it's like holding his head, it cannot be. So I was thinking of that reading here, that you become so absorbed in materialism, it's impossible for you to understand how the Supreme can be a person. So much so that you even take up 3.5 years of austerities in a Vedanta, so-called Vedanta ashram. And still you can't understand how Krishna can be a person. You think that means limitation. And of course, after 3.5 years in the Vedanta ashram, now he's back in Perth, and he doesn't know what to do with himself. How fortunate we are to be able to hear about Krishna. And every devotee should always regularly hear Krishna's pastimes, especially from the Krishna book. Prabhupada said the Krishna book actually was his favorite book. Sometimes devotees would try to ask very minute questions of Prabhupada based on the Krishna book. And Prabhupada would just say, Krishna book, you just hear it and enjoy it. Don't nitpick it. By regularly reading Krishna book, you get a taste for the pastimes of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada presents Krishna in such a way that you won't make offenses. There's spiritual pleasure there with no possibility for you to make offenses. Because everything is presented in nice philosophy, so you won't misunderstand that these pastimes are mythological, some craziness like that. Sinful activity has a very debilitating effect, very destructive effect on our spiritual understanding. What are the impediments to understanding Krishna? They are there. On the one hand, Krishna is inconceivable. On the other hand, our senses are very limited. And then, besides these two things, Maya is always trying to put impediments in our path. So you got these three things going on at once. Krishna is inconceivable, we are tiny with imperfect senses, and then Maya is placing impediments in our path. So unless we are very serious, it's very difficult to understand Krishna. So we want to develop some persons, whether they live in a temple building or not, we want to develop persons who are serious to understand Krishna. Shivananda and I were driving back from the retreat, so we're listening to Prabhupada's lectures, and that's the thing that strikes you at all times, right, when listening to Prabhupada. He was so serious to understand and present Krishna. We need that same seriousness. What are we serious about in this world? Generally, we're simply serious about our sense gratification. Am I being understood by others? Do they understand my needs? Do they know what I want? Isn't that our main anxiety? Does everyone know what I want? Do they know what I'm really like? We're so serious about ourselves. But Krishna, we don't have that same intensity. But our process is emphasizing to understand Krishna. And we shouldn't feel ashamed or embarrassed about that. Oh, my whole life's being spent understanding Krishna. What about me? I'm neglecting me. Now, the more you understand Krishna, the more yourself will become clear. Just like when the sun rises in the morning, you can see everything around you as well as yourself too. So we shouldn't feel insecure. If I spend my life trying to understand Krishna, what will happen to me? It seems like we should spend our whole life trying to figure out ourselves. How many of you have put in a lot of time trying to figure out yourself? You go nuts, don't you? Hey, anyone else? Yeah, you've done that, Daniel? I mean, it just looks like a kitten chasing its tail. I'm going to really figure out myself and try to... But that same effort, if we put into trying to understand Krishna, we get pleasure, we get illumination, all these things come. So we're not ashamed to put our effort into trying to understand Krishna. We're quite delighted to do that. The more serious we are to understand Krishna, the easier spiritual life is. But what gets in the way of that serious intensity to understand Krishna, what gets in the way is absorption in materialism. That's why Prabhupada writes in one Bhagavatam purport that sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. And this is a big problem. Somehow we want those things to go together. They don't. Krishna consciousness is so real, presenting the spiritual reality of our identity. It's so real that sometimes we may even get scared. It's so real. This is just too real. This is no room for daydreaming and hallucination. It's just too real. You felt like that sometimes? Yeah. Sometimes people, they tell me, just too many answers. Like that's a bad thing. These days, people think the more undefined and vague things are, the more spiritual they must be. Generally, you think people are searching for the answers. But you'll find a lot of people will tell you. It's too many answers. You just answer too many questions. It can't be spiritual. And that is a problem we have with Krishna consciousness. It's too real. It's too powerful. Krishna's words, they cut right to the heart of everything. Krishna's pastimes are so stunning and mesmerizing. You just have to lift your attention from the illusion onto Krishna. And do we want to do that? So Prabhupada goes on to write, such materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Does everybody here feel that their body is perishable? Does anyone here not feel that their body is perishable? What about full of ignorance? That sounds like a real self-put-down, a real negative way of viewing yourself. Your body is full of ignorance. Yeah. The body is full of... Well, it's got strength. It's got the ability to do things. It's got the ability to feel some pleasure. So, the body is full of ignorance. Ignorance means the propensity to engage in sense gratification. Until we can accept that that is ignorance, we have a tough time controlling our senses. We'll always think that sense gratification is actually good, it's actually all right, but we're forced not to do it. But actually, it's not that bad. We have to use our intelligence through Srimad Bhagavatam to understand why sense gratification is so deadly and dangerous. We have to train up our intelligence. So, we should be able to see that there's not much time to waste. We have so much effort to put in to keep our spiritual eyes sharp and on point. How is it we think we have time to spend on other things? The body is temporary. It's going to go at any minute. So certainly our main focus in our life should be, let me understand Krishna. There is where the pleasure is. Every one of you needs that realization by trying to understand Krishna. That's the pleasure. Have any of you really sat down and tried to understand Krishna through Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna and through devotional service? Have you really just got that kind of vision? I'm going to try to understand Krishna. Sometimes we forget that that's our mission. And if you want to understand Krishna, you have to accept Krishna's method, Krishna's methodology for understanding him. Bhakti mam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can I be understood. Therefore, if you're trying to understand Krishna, you become very serious about devotional service. And devotional service begins with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Nitya siddha Krishna prem sajim kabinoa shravanadi shudachite koryayadun. Pure love of Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entity. In the heart of the living entity. And it's revived by the authorized process of hearing and chanting. So this is not just some kind of religious clubhouse here. It's a place where we seriously associate for understanding Krishna. And that's where the pleasure is. That's why I recommend everyone read Krishna book regularly, because you see there's such a pleasure just hearing about Krishna. You do it regularly, and you'll be so satisfied. You'll wonder, what do I need with material desires? All I have to do is sit down and hear Krishna book, and I'm satisfied. Such a simple thing. So let us not forget our quest to understand Krishna. It can be done. Krishna says here, bahavo jnana tapasam. Many persons have done it. Bahavo. They become purified by knowledge of me. The more you know about Krishna, the more you want to serve Krishna. So you should become interested how Krishna does things, how Krishna appears in this world, why Krishna engages in the battlefield of Kurukshetra politics, why Krishna comes in so many avatars. Who is this Krishna? That should be your heartfelt quest. Then you'll find the pleasure, because Krishna means the all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. But if we don't know Krishna, how can we know pleasure? Answer that question. If you don't know Krishna, that means you don't know pleasure. And the amazing thing is that even though we don't know Krishna, we think we know what pleasure is, and that's a big problem. Well, I may not understand Krishna, but at least I know, you know, things that are good for me, things that I enjoy, things that give me contentment. That's all a mental hallucination. And these hallucinations give us so much trouble. And we have to work so hard to support our habits. To support our habit of hallucination, we have to work so hard. Go through so much anxiety, trying to grasp and clutch things. So the whole Vedic process is based on just hear about Krishna and try to understand Krishna. Stane stita shuti katam tanuvan manobir. Whatever occupational duty you have, whatever ashram lifestyle you have, just get yourself together so that you can hear about Krishna, try to understand Krishna. That is the purpose of our Krishna Consciousness Society, to give everyone a chance to understand who is Krishna. As soon as you start thinking, who is Krishna? Then you're thinking, what is pleasure? Can you see the two together like that? Who is Krishna means you're asking, what is pleasure? And as soon as you're not concerned with who is Krishna, it means you're not concerned with what is pleasure. But then the illusory energy takes over and says, oh, you may not know about Krishna, but certainly you know what happiness is. You know what you like. Yeah, sure. I know what happiness is. It's quite obvious. And because you are consorting with the illusory energy, you can't see that your ancestors have had the same delusions and gotten nowhere. How many of you think sometimes how your parents, their parents, so on and so forth, they've all tried to squeeze something out of material life and failed, but you think that you're going to be able to do it? Especially in the West here, it's amazing how persons who are not elderly think that they're going to get something that their parents didn't get. And they can't even see how their parents are shriveled up, exhausted, trying to pursue something that's not there. And we think we're actually doing things in a different way than our parents. No. But because the glare of Maya is so great, we feel optimistic. There's something there for me. Your parents didn't get what they wanted? Your grandparents didn't? And you think you are? So the whole purpose of Vedic civilization is to take the thrust of your life from false efforts to gratify your senses and make those efforts to understand Krishna. You should know about Krishna. What are his qualities? What are his activities? That's where the pleasure is. Therefore, people keep the same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of a gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the supreme to be impersonal. You hear that a lot from people these days. The universe, that's what it is. We're all just belonging to the universe. The universe is truth. That is a very rudimentary, impersonal understanding. And because they are too materially absorbed, listen to this line. This is quite extraordinary from Prabhupada. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. It's like, oh, I don't want to be a person again. It's been so painful being a person, being an individual. And you're telling me that the perfection of life is to be a spiritual person? No. Impossible. Surely perfection means to lose your individuality, to merge into the so-called oneness. There's no way that perfection can be that I am a person, a spiritual person. No, I refuse that. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again. And so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Do you ever think like that? Afraid to be an individual and a person again? Because we're thinking of ourselves in terms of matter. It is true that when you misidentify yourself as matter, you're going to suffer. But that's not the lifestyle of the spirit soul. The spirit soul actually has nothing to do with matter. But we think being an individual, being a person, means matter. We haven't heard about Krishna enough. Therefore, we're insecure about our spiritual identity. You all know how people can call others insecure. You all have seen people like that who you call insecure? Yes. Everyone's met people who you call insecure. But what's it like to be spiritually insecure? To be unsure and afraid of your personal spiritual identity. That means you're very weak. The more you engage in devotional service, the more you become spiritually secure. You can feel, I am Krishna's servant. That means I'm always supposed to render service to Krishna. But when you're spiritually insecure, well, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like serving Krishna, and sometimes, there's just a lot of things I want to do, and it's spiritually insecure. We have intelligence, but in the Western world, no one knows what to do with their brains. Have you noticed that? No idea what to do with their brains. The best thing they can think of is you're just supposed to dull your brain with alcohol and drugs. That's what the brain is for. To dull it. You don't want to That's how you have a good time. The better. What does everyone like to do when the weekend comes? Dull your brain. That's how you have a good time. You, in other words, you cannot enjoy without dulling yourself. That's enjoyment. Anyone can see the whole proposition is just crazy. Well, it's Friday. We're going to have a good time. So what do we have to first do? We've got to go to the liquor store. Or find our friends with some marijuana. That helps the enjoyment. The more we dull ourselves, the happier we'll be. Remember, I was... The first time I came to Australia, I was... One of the first times I was in Melbourne at our Food for Life place there called Crossway. So I was talking to some people there. And so they were telling me, yeah, we're going to have a party tonight. And, you know, we've got about, you know, 10 slabs. Slabs? What are slabs? They kind of looked at me like I was crazy. I don't know what a slab is. And then they explained, you know, a slab is what these kind of boxes of beer or something like that. Yeah. So... I said, well, why do you need slabs for your, you know, for your party to be happy? They just looked at me again like I was crazy. Slabs are part of happiness, they told me. Slabs help the happiness. It just makes it better. Can't you understand that? This is the kind of position we're reduced to when we forget Krishna. And how do we view Krishna? Some alien, strange concept, some kind of Hindu concept, some kind of Hindu mythology which has some relation to God, and, you know, we don't have a taste for Krishna. Therefore, we try to get our taste from matter. If you want to be a Hare Krishna, you have to know how to get your taste from Krishna. Raso Vaisa, Krishna is the origin of all tastes. All the things we're trying to enjoy in material existence are perverted tastes, which originate in Krishna in their pure capacity. That means in the holy name, all the original tastes are there, because the holy name Krishna is the same as Krishna. It would be very nice to chant Hare Krishna with that kind of conviction, that here is the origin of all tastes. Krishna contains purely all the tastes from different kinds of relationships, family, amorous, friendship, master-servant, all those tastes are there in Krishna, in their original pure capacity. Krishna is full of unlimited flavors of happiness. But we are afraid of Krishna. We're not sure about Krishna. We're feeling a bit insecure. And mainly that's because we have no desire to understand Krishna. And what are the reasons? Raga, bhaya, krodha, material attachment, fear, krodha, anger. So we'll go on reading Prabhupada's purport. Generally, they compare living entities to be the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. You see that? People just get bewildered There's so many spiritual teachers, so many spiritual books, so many paths. Just the hell with it all. It's proper right here. They're embarrassed that there is just so much out there to choose from. This book, that book. This path, that path. Then just finally blow their circuits out and just, I'm just going to say, forget it all. And then you just want to void yourself out, especially through intoxication. They become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause. And some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. So Prabhupada advises us, one has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world. Number one, negligence of spiritual life, then fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. This is a very wonderful purport. And Krishna's giving you his offer. Many persons have become free from these things by knowledge of me. And then what do they get? Transcendental love for me. It can happen. But we have to decide. It's up to each of us individually. Do I want to understand Krishna? It's the most serious career and the most pleasurable career. But our problem is we are not serious to understand Krishna. We all have excuses. The men have their excuses, which are particular for the male body. Well, I'm so busy, you know, I have to support my family and I have to manage in this world and so many practical affairs a man like me must do. The ladies have their excuse.
Well, it's the children. When the children are older.
The children have their excuse.
I'm just a child.
We specialize in excuses why we don't have time to understand Krishna. And therefore, we don't have that intensity of purpose. Not understanding Krishna means not understanding pleasure. Any questions? Yes. What's the best attitude to Prabhupada explains that in the 18th chapter of the Gita. When doing any service for Krishna, you should think, I'm doing this for Krishna. Let me do it with the best that I can offer. You shouldn't do it whimsically. I've got to do this for Krishna. I'm going to drag. Anyway, you got to do it, you know. They tell you at the temple, you got to do it. If you don't do it, you know, the Prabhus look down on you. You know, they say you're not fired up. So I just got to get it done as quick as possible, get it out of the way. Now you should not want to offer Krishna service like that. Whatever you do for Krishna, you put your heart and soul into it. I'm going to try to offer something to Krishna with love. What does it mean with love? You blow a kiss or something? With love means with care. All the care and attention you can sum it up. And sometimes Krishna will arrange that your service really taxes you.
because Krishna likes to see how much care you're going to show in his service. Anybody can do service when it's easy. But Krishna wants to see that you become an all-weather Vaishnav, not just a sunshine, summertime Vaishnav. All-weather Vaishnav means love all the time. Not just when conditions are nice. So when you're serving, doing devotional service, you should think, this is such a special opportunity. Let me do it to the best of my capacity. Whether it's sweeping the floor, cutting the grass, serving the deity, cooking, preaching, whatever. Singing, whatever. It's for Krishna. Let me do it the best I can. And then Krishna will give you more intelligence how to please him. You can read that in chapter 18. The first Chaitasa Sarva Karmani, Maya Sanyasa Makpala. Who knows what number that is? No Bhagavad Gita for scholars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 57. Okay, here, Prabhupada writes. And while working in that way, one should think of Krishna only. I have been appointed to discharge this particular duty by Krishna. While acting in such a way, one naturally has to think of Krishna. This is perfect Krishna consciousness. One should, however, note that after doing something whimsically, he should not offer the result to the Supreme Lord. That sort of duty is not in the devotional service of Krishna consciousness. One should act according to the order of Krishna. This is a very important point. That order of Krishna comes through the succession from the bona fide spiritual master. Therefore, the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. So there you have it. Yes, sometimes we make our own obstacles. And sometimes Krishna wants to test our love. It's not that Krishna is sadistical, you know. Let me see, I can give this guy a hard time. He thinks he wants to go back to God and I'll fix him. That's not like that at all. Krishna knows best how to increase your love. But our problem is we think, oh, I know best. Look, I've agreed to try to love Krishna, so I know how the whole thing should go on. I've got it all worked out. I know just how the process of bhakti yoga should go on for me, because I know me. And I know what's good for me, and I know the best way that Krishna should, you know, accept service from me. I got it all figured out. So Krishna, you just stay right there now, and I'm going to serve you my way, and you're going to take it, because you know I love you. No, Krishna knows infinitely better than us how we can best love Krishna. So Krishna can put us through various circumstances, which we may think are ordeals, but Krishna is just trying to bring more love out of you. That's why when Bhishma Dev was departing, he was thinking of the Pandavas. He said, how could this be that they went through? It seemed like they went through so much suffering, and they were dear associates of the Lord. Yudhisthira is Dharmaraj, the son of religion. Or the he's the personification, the king of religion. Arjuna is Krishna's personal companion. Bhima, he's so strong. They're all great personalities, even from the material point of view. Draupadi is practically the goddess of fortune. Yet, they seem to suffer so much. They went through so many reversals. So Bhishma concluded. I can only say that this was due to the time factor. That means he's saying it's Krishna. The time factor is the carrying out of Krishna's will. That even the greatest devotees seemingly have to go through suffering. But actually, what's going on? What was Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, what was her famous prayer? Vipada santita shaspa tatra tatra jagadra. Let these miseries happen again and again. What kind of prayer is that? I remember when I was with Ari Keshwami. We were preaching in Czechoslovakia in 1978, and it was either that or Poland, and I think it was Poland, the initiation there. So I was picking out a verse in the Bhagavatam for the lecture. So I figured, we have to understand the scene, that, you know, Eastern Europe, in the shackles of communist regimes back then, people were suffering so much, oppressed in ways you could never understand these days. And, you know, people were coming to Krishna consciousness, they were materially desperate, you know. They wanted relief. They, you know, they were just living in a concentration camp. So I was picking out a verse for the lecture. So I say, hey, this is a good one. Let these miseries happen again and again. Queen Kunti Devi's verse. You know, oh, well, not that verse. You know? we don't want everybody to run away. It sounds scary to neophytes. Let these miseries happen again and again. Is this some kind of masochist religion or something? But you see, for Kunti Devi, they're not miseries, actually. You have to understand the whole verse. She sees these so-called miseries as events that are actually bringing her Krishna's association. You see, Krishna, the battle of Kurukshetra is over. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur, the capital city of the Pandavas, to go back to his own private city of Dwarka. So, Kunti is trying to stop him. So she's saying, if we went through so many disasters, and it was the disasters that kept you in our association, then Krishna, let there be disasters all the time. Because we see you whenever there's trouble. So let the troubles always happen. Because we see you then, and by seeing you, we no longer see repeated birth and death. So she understood. The real thing is to see Krishna. And whatever brings that about, all glories to it. Whether you call it distress, calamities, good fortune, whatever. Just whatever happens that brings Krishna, let it happen. That was her attitude. But actually, what the Pandavas went through, from the external point of view, was so severe that even the great general Bhishma Dev, his very name, Bhishma, means serious, sober, grave. When he thought of what the Pandavas went through, tears would come to his eyes. Oh, how they have gone through so much tribulation. And but here's the mother. It's not the Pandavas, they were warriors. Their mother is saying, oh, let it all happen again. How can we understand bhakti with our material senses? Intelligence? It's not possible. Huh? Any other questions? Everyone is feeling more resolved to try to understand Krishna. Understanding that means you're more concerned with pleasure. should be the impetus of our life, to understand Krishna.
As soon as we think there's something more important to do with our life than understand Krishna, we should know that that is a very serious problem. Even a child can understand Krishna. You just chant Krishna's name. It's not dependent exactly on material intellect, for sure. It's dependent on absorbing the sound vibration coming through the sixth succession. And you'll find no better way to understand Krishna than reading Srila Prabhupada's books and trying to act on them. Thank you all for that wonderful hospitality. Look forward to seeing you all again. I heard rumors from Bhakta Craig that Perth is a nice place for distributing books. Yes? He said that people were very nice and friendly and very eager to give financial remuneration for a book about Krishna. That's a good sign. Look forward to seeing everybody in some months. I can hear good things about everyone. Very nice weekend. Those feasts were indescribable. You weren't there, were you? Oh, you couldn't believe what those feasts were like. Who else wasn't there? You cannot conceive. Certainly you can conquer earth through such wonderful prasad. You can become famous for that. It'll take some work, though.
It's all the work for Krishna.
All glory just for the Father.